Monitor now invites you to Meet the Press, America's press conference of the air, winner of every major award in its field. Today's guest on Meet the Press will be Mortimer M. Kaplan, Commissioner of Internal Revenue. We will bring you today's program in a moment, after this message.
Morgan Beatty, NBC News. This is the nation's number one newsmaker.
We have a long way to go in the space race. We started late, but this is the new ocean, and I believe the United States must sail on it.
Another newsmaker is the Attorney General.
The communist espionage here in this country is much more active now than it has ever been.
Now a third Kennedy, Edward, enters the political scene.
I think today, particularly in the challenging times, there's no occupation which is more interesting, more stimulating, and if done well, more rewarding than public service.
Whoever makes the news, NBC Radio provides significant coverage, helps you become more familiar with the personalities of our times and with the events that are shaping our future. For late national and international developments, stay tuned for NBC Radio News on the Hour.
Do you have your future mapped out? If not, have you considered America's exciting new Peace Corps? Young people with farm skills are vitally needed. Not only college graduates, but persons with 4-H Club and Future Farmers of America experience as well. It's an exciting and stimulating life, and best of all, you'll be helping your own country as you help the people of other countries. For more information on your future in the Peace Corps, write to Peace Corps, Washington 25, D.C. That's Peace Corps, Washington 25, D.C. And now, Meet the Press. Today's guest, the nation's tax chief, Mortimer M. Kaplan. Our panel consists of Lawrence E. Spivak, Richard Harkness of NBC News, Richard Mooney of the New York Times, and Richard Wilson of the Coles Publications. Ned Brooks is our moderator.
With the federal income tax deadline facing us, our guest today is the nation's tax chief, Mr. Mortimer Kaplan, Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. Before coming to Washington, Mr. Kaplan was a professor of tax law at the University of Virginia, and he had gained a reputation as one of the nation's outstanding tax experts. And now here is the first question from Lawrence E. Spivak, prominent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Mr. Kaplan, in 1958, you wrote in the Virginia Law Review, and I quote, "We have reached a danger point which strongly evidences an undermining of the tax morality of large numbers of people." What did you find to be the case when you got in as commissioner?
Well, I think that the situation was not as acute as I anticipated. Sometimes we tend to overjudge the situation by some personal experiences. I think it's something that has to be watched, though.
Do you believe that there is a limit to what the government can take in taxes before the faith and the morality of the people is undermined?
Well, I suppose there'd be an ultimate limit. I think we're nowhere near it, but I really think our tax system is based ultimately on the confidence of the people in this system.
Now, more recently than that Virginia article, that article in the Virginia Law Review, you said that the individual self-assessment and voluntary compliance is the very heart and strength of our tax system. Have you lost faith in voluntary compliance?
No, I think the American public has a tremendous record in terms of voluntary compliance, and I think that's the asset we must protect.
Well, when you became commissioner, you thought you were going to have a voluntary system. You thought you were going to try a voluntary system on dividends and on interest. Now you seem to have switched. Why?
Well, I don't think I instituted the voluntary system on dividends and interest. The truth of the matter is we have a tremendous loss of revenue in that one area, much of it due to sheer ignorance.
You think it's ignorance rather than bad faith or an attempt on the part of people to evade paying taxes?
Oh, I think there's probably a small percentage who will attempt to evade, but I still receive letters asking, "How dare you tax my dividends and interest?" This is amazing.
Well, now those people must know, though, if they say that they have to pay it.
No, I think there's an assumption by many that this is not taxable. I've even seen a newspaper editorial to that effect.
I believe you estimated that about $850 million in revenue from dividends and interest is not being collected. Is most of that being evaded?
This is a Treasury estimate, and I think it's a good hard figure. This is the gross tax loss from non-reporting of interest and dividend.
We'll continue the questions with Mr. Harkness.
Mr. Kaplan, in the tax revision bill just passed by the House and now apparently in trouble in the Senate, Mr. Kennedy asked for a sharp crackdown on business entertainment expenses and other business expenses. As I understand it, the House Tax Committee did not follow the President's recommendations and asked you to tighten up the regulations with a reasonable assessment. What do you plan to do about the lunches, the nightclubs, the shows, the Christmas gifts?
Well, I would take issue with you about the trouble of the bill. I think the bill is in pretty good shape right now. It had good support in the House, and I think there's every evidence that it'll have good support in the Senate. Now, there is some positive legislation on the expense account side. The House has approved the concept of eliminating approximations. They want good, hard evidence to support the deduction. The bill asks for a much closer relationship to business activity before you can get a deduction. The bill goes a part of the way, but I don't think it goes enough.
Do you think that we're on a kind of an expense account economy, businessmen entertaining each other and just living that way?
Well, I think we found a lot of extreme abuse in that area, and the president commented upon the seriousness.
A little sidelight. I understand that a New York businessman can take out for a night on the town a pretty buyer, a blonde buyer from Peoria, but the wife has to stay at home because she's not tax deductible. Is that the case?
Well, I've heard some comment if this were a business activity, it would be deductible under present law, but I think that the direction of the new bill is to eliminate that sort of deduction.
Mr. Mooney.
Mr. Kaplan, often in discussing tax legislation, the argument is made that taxes should not be levied for social purposes, and the argument has been raised on this expense account issue that, in fact, you are trying to get rid of expense account living, and you're actually cutting into the way a lot of people do their legitimate business. Are you, in fact, trying to legislate a way of living here?
No, I don't think this is the primary aim. I think there's a significant revenue loss here when someone takes an improper deduction under the name of ordinary and necessary business expense. Also, beyond the immediate tax revenue, you have the impact on the rest of the public. Only about 10% of our taxpayers are in a position to claim business deductions. And when the rest of the public sees ostentatious abuse, it undermines confidence in our self-assessment system. And there's our real asset to be protected.
What do you think of the general principle of tax legislation for social purposes?
Well, I think there would have to be a rather strong case to be made out before we used our tax law for that purpose.
Would there be, right now we're very much concerned with exports, and there's been talk of a tax subsidy for exports, for export businesses.
Well, I think this same issue has been raised in connection with the tax credit for new investment, which is contained in the bill. I think there's very definitely a desire to contribute to our economic growth in this country, to make us more competitive abroad, to help raise our standard of living, ultimately to raise the employment situation in this country.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Kaplan, you made an estimate of the amount of loss of revenue due to non-payment of tax on dividends and interest. Would you have an estimate on overall the amount of taxable income which is actually not being taxed?
The Treasury has undertaken a study here with many people who are quite educated in this area. They spent a lot of time on it, and the figure is about $24.9 billion of income, which is not reported, and about $4.9 billion in tax, which should be collected and which is not collected each year.
Well, in view of the fact that the non-enforcement of the tax laws or the non-compliance with the tax laws results in such a tremendous loss of income, wouldn't the Internal Revenue Service and the Treasury be in a better position to concentrate on collecting the taxes that are already owed rather than trying to devise new taxes or to close the so-called loopholes?
Well, remember that we collected a gross amount of revenue last year of nearly $95 billion. And I think that we have a very high level of compliance. Just as there is a great deal of ignorance on the dividends and interest side, I think much of the poor reporting is due to a misunderstanding of the law to the extent of $4.9 billion. But this is a good record. Most people do a tremendous job, and we're trying to help them do a better job and keep on buttressing their confidence in this system.
Well, most of this loss of income, is it due to the lack of reporting of personal income?
This varies, different types of income. Some of it is business profit, some of it is wage and salary, royalties, some capital gain, dividends and interest. This is the broad spectrum. It cuts right across all varieties of income.
I wonder if the argument has any merit that the cost of closing loopholes, trying to tighten up on such things as expense accounts, the cost of administering that is so great that it's really not worth doing in that form.
Well, of course, today we have the most difficulty with no help from the statute. Actually, the desire to get expense account relief would be to make the administrative job easier and to be able to draw as clear a line as possible between business expense on one hand and personal and living expenses, which are non-deductible under our code.
But there's so many people who are saying now that we're almost reaching the limit of how high a personal income tax can be borne by the people economically. I'm not talking about individuals as I am so much as I am about the mass, that the taxation problem has reached the point where it's reached so often historically, that it is a greater economic burden than the economic good that it produces. I wonder if you, as an expert in the past, think we're approaching that point in our taxation system.
Well, of course, Mr. Wilson, you well recognize that our entire tax burden is dependent upon our governmental needs, and almost 80% of our budget is connected in one way or another with the defense, space, and international problems that we have. We will have lower taxes only when these difficulties subside. I have every interest, just like any other citizen, in having the governmental burden of taxation reduced, but I think this is a price that we're all willing to pay. Now, I don't think you're trying to justify an abuse of the tax law as a reason or a justification because of high taxes today.
No. The point I'm raising is whether how much longer you can take this much out of the economy for the government. Now, this is a problem which puzzled the previous administration a great deal. It puzzled President Eisenhower a great deal. I just wonder if you people in the Kennedy administration have the same concern for that point as so many have had previously.
Well, I think you will find this concern. Of course, you have, again, the governmental needs and the tremendous endeavor within the administration to reach a balanced budget. But I believe the President and Mr. Dillon have both indicated that before the Berlin crisis, there was serious discussion about a tax cut. I think this is the aim, all things being equal. But when we run into an emergency, there's nothing to do but to meet our obligation.
You think a tax cut will be proposed later this year?
Well, this is beyond my ken of responsibility, and I would think that this is something the President and the Secretary would have to consider carefully.
Mr. Kaplan, how do you explain the fact that there are so many people who are ignorant of the fact that their dividends and interest are taxable? It seems a very simple thing. Why should people not understand that?
Well, as I get this mail, it seems to relate to the fact that this is part of their capital investment, their life saving, the fact that income may be credited to their account and they never see the cash. But this is constructive income, and when you can reach out and take bank interest, you're taxable on that.
Well, has not the Internal Revenue Service tried to educate people along those? Have they not done a good job
yes.
in educating people?
Well, there's been this tremendous effort to educate the public. The banks, the brokerage houses, the insurance companies have all cooperated. this year on the tax return. We have big black letters, a separate line for dividends and interest, but somehow the message is not getting across, and this is the reason why we're asking for withholding.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Kaplan, don't you think that there are a great many people who now have the message, but because they haven't declared in the past, are afraid if they do declare that you're going to catch up with them and punish them?
Well, I think there may be some of that, and I'm hoping, as I've stated before, that people will use this year as the year to correct their tax records. Most of this is inadvertence, negligence, and the average person has no problem if he reports his current income and if he corrects his past error.
Mr. Kaplan, in, I think, between 45 and 52, immunity was given by the Internal Revenue Service to people who voluntarily declared what they owed in the past and came forward. Do you think it would be a good idea if you had the right once again to give people immunity for a short period of time so they could catch up on their past from this point on, pay their...
The immunity you're referring to is immunity against criminal prosecution. There never was an immunity against paying the tax, the interest,
right,
and any penalty that was involved. The Internal Revenue Service had great difficulty with that voluntary disclosure policy, and we revoked it after that short experiment. Today, there is no guarantee against criminal prosecution. But as a practical matter, there are comparatively few cases that are actually prosecuted when the man really walks in from off the street, makes a full disclosure before any investigation has begun, and makes arrangement to pay his tax.
Now, how far does he have to go back? Suppose he hasn't declared on dividends for the last 15 or 20 years. What do you want him to do, go back all the way?
Well, normally there's not an investigation beyond 10 years, and frequently it may be a shorter period than that. We've had people within the last 2 months walk in from off the street and pay the federal government over $700,000, some of the income going back to 1918. And this has been a very interesting development since much of the discussion on automatic data processing.
Mr. Kaplan, the new tax bill provides a reasonable allowance as a deduction on meals and lodgings and travel. Now, who's going to decide what's reasonable? Are you going to decide what's reasonable for me and for the head of General Motors and for some clerk in General Motors who may have to travel?
Well, we have the problem today on reasonable compensation being the limit on deductibility. It's that issue is generally raised by the service on closely held corporations, and ultimately will be decided by the courts. I'm hoping that the Senate will clarify that provision and strengthen it, and it will be difficult.
What about members of Congress? Do you look into their tax returns? I noticed that a few weeks ago a member of Congress considered $29.54 a day reasonable for his rooms and lodging. Do you check into matters of that, or is Congress pretty well immune?
Well, there's nobody, Mr. Spivak, immune from examination. They're subject to the same examination standards as anybody in government, including myself.
Mr. Harkness.
Mr. Kaplan, on tax collections, I've heard it said that your agents are directed or have a rule of thumb whereby they feel that they must collect X dollars, say, for an eight-hour day. Is that correct?
Well, I think that in the past there have been some instances where there have been misunderstandings so far as certain local personnel were concerned. But we have made a firm policy on that, something we call the new direction within our organization, prohibiting any accumulation of statistics on an agent. I think that constitutes an abuse, and we're preventing it.
Mm-hmm. I suppose, Mr. Kaplan, this is sort of a tax philosophy question. I happened to cover the hearing on Capitol Hill when Beardsley Rummel first suggested the withholding tax. It's been in effect a long time now.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just wondering that if all of us don't figure, well, we just have less take-home pay, we really don't realize the magnitude of taxes that are being taken out of our economy and out of our individual pay these days. And if perhaps this isn't a little dangerous thing, that we don't realize the mounting costs of government, because we never got our hands on this money.
Well, this is a very important tool in terms of tax administration.
Yes.
It's quite difficult to have a man spend his earnings and then be faced with a tax liability at the end of the year. Through withholding, he's kept current. Many people deliberately have themselves overwithheld so that they get a little bonus at the end of the year. This is the way they view it, instead of having to pay something else.
But isn't there a little opium there? accident? Or?
Well, I recognize the problem, but I think most Americans today realize that they have a heavy tax burden, and deep down they're willing to pay it when they can watch the satellites and the spacemen and all the other things we get from government.
Mr. Mooney.
Sir, you're in the process now of putting us all on magnetic tape, our names and all the information you have on each one of us, this automatic data processing system you referred to. Will there be no escape from this once you have it all down?
Well, I like to view it as really economy, modernization in government, comparable to what industry would employ in its own affairs. We have a tremendous paper handling problem, and we hope through the data processing system to close on this $4.9 billion revenue gap and save you the dollars that you're paying for someone else.
When the data processing system was first being proposed and the legislation, the necessary legislation was being worked on, it was mentioned that the withholding problem could be solved by automatic data processing. Do you disagree with this? You still, I don't mean the withholding, the dividends and interest,
yes,
non-reporting. You still seem to think that not so, it must be withholding.
Well, I think you must recognize that data processing will merely identify the discrepancies on a return and the actual information document we have. We get an information document on interest, for example, only when there's $600 or more interest. We have that tremendous gap below. We would have to lower the reporting requirement probably to $10. And this would mean 250 million informational documents to be matched, and we still would not have collected a penny. Now, many of these non-reportings relate to small amounts, a few dollars, and it would be inefficient to have to send a revenue agent out to contact a man to collect that money. This is why withholding in the first bracket complements automatic data processing. Through data processing, we'll be able to concentrate on the higher brackets above 20%.
Do you think that the opposition to withholding has been certainly among the very strongest of the opposition to any part of the tax bill? Is it opposition from the people you say who don't understand, the people who write in and say, why are you going to tax my dividends? Or is it opposition from organized business groups, the payers of dividends and the payers of interest?
Well, I'd have to guess about that. The big thing that we have to get across is that this is not a new tax. It's merely paying the tax that you owe on dividends and interest. Most people pay it, and it seems to me the balance of the public should meet their obligations.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Kaplan, is it the big taxpayer or the small taxpayer, little taxpayer, who is shorting the government most?
Well, I think it's difficult to make a differentiation. We know that on dividends and interest, for example, we made several surveys, that we have it up and down the spectrum, that some of the larger taxpayers are just as deficient as many of the smaller ones.
I noticed that you had sent, I think, some 30 agents out to a very small, relatively small town several weeks ago, presumably to help the people there and to get them to pay the tax that they ought to pay. Do you think those are terroristic methods or not?
Well, we didn't want it to be, and we hoped that we were doing a good job in that community. Plenty of advance notice was given. It was intended to help them in connection with the preparation of the current income tax returns and also to make a test on voluntary compliance.
What did you find as a result of that?
Well, we found some 300 returns that were not filed, that should have been filed. We also collected some $50,000, or at least had the assessments for an additional $50,000 as a result of that inquiry. I think that the ultimate result was a good one. I regret that we had any adverse impact on the town.
Well, now, is there any way that you can proceed with that on a nationwide basis without causing terror to spread, but to make sure that everybody pays his taxes? I think one thing that bothers most people, or many people, is that they say they pay their taxes, but Mr. Jones doesn't pay his. Is there any way that you can use the procedure you followed there to really make a nationwide drive to get people to pay with the...
I agree with the point you make about avoiding any terror aspect of this. And I am hopeful that when this program is continued, that it will be done with even further advance notice, with a greater understanding, and to try to avoid any problem that we faced before.
You're going to try it in many other places?
I think it will be done in the future. We have no immediate plans for another examination, but we will undoubtedly take it up again in the future.
Gentlemen, we have about 1 minute. Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Kaplan, the Senate Investigating Subcommittee reported the other day that there's about $50 billion in gambling taxes that you could collect, or on $50 billion worth of profits. Are you going to do anything special to get the gamblers to pay taxes on their profits?
We are doing a lot to get them to pay their taxes. I think that figure is highly inflated. It was based upon the testimony of one or two of the witnesses, but we do have a heavy enforcement program in conjunction with the Attorney General's office.
Have you ever thought of a withholding tax at racetracks?
We have an information reporting track at the track for anybody who hits the daily double or any one of the other little arrangements that are made.
Has it done you any good?
Yes, we've collected a certain amount of revenue. The tracks have cooperated.
Well, gentlemen, at this point, I think we'll have to suspend our questions. And thank you very much, Commissioner Kaplan, for being with us. We've covered a great amount of territory.
Thank you, Ned Brooks. We'll tell you how you can get a copy of this week's Meet the Press interview in just a moment.
To the Greeks, Apollo was a god of youth and beauty. To us, Apollo is a space project for putting man on the moon. 2.5 days to get there, 6 days for exploration on the moon, another 2.5 days for the return to Earth. Within 6 years, possibly less, NBC News will be reporting this awesome adventure. Chet Huntley reminding you that for the equally important down-to-earth developments in today's world, stay in touch with NBC Radio News on the Hour.
Do you know what would make a wonderful wedding present for the kids someday? U.S. savings bonds. Alice Smith's mom started buying savings bonds regularly 20 years ago when Alice was just 3. That's when e-bonds first came out. Last June, when Alice married a bright young lawyer, those bonds sure came in handy. Helped set up and furnish a beautiful apartment. Savings bonds taught Alice about thrift and saving for the future. Mom says, and it's true, Alice and her husband are now buying savings bonds for the down payment on a house. They'll get back $4 for every 3 they invest in just 7 years and 9 months. And they'll help keep their country secure. Whether you plan to retire, buy a home, send the kids through college, or give them a head start on married life, do as Alice's mom did. Save for the future with U.S. savings bonds. Buy that first bond at your bank today. Now more details on Meet the Press. Today's guest was Mortimer M. Kaplan, Commissioner of Internal Revenue, and the panel consisted of Lawrence E. Spivak, Richard Harkness of NBC News, Richard Mooney of the New York Times, and Richard Wilson of the Coles Publications. For a printed copy of today's Meet the Press discussion, send 10 cents in coin and a stamped self-addressed envelope to Merkle Press, M-E-R-K-L-E, Merkle Press, 809 Channing Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. Meet the Press will be heard again next week at this same time when our guest will be Edward J. McCormick, Jr., Attorney General of Massachusetts and nephew of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, John W. McCormick. The program will be the third in the Meet the Press series of interviews with candidates for the hotly contested Massachusetts Senate seat. The race has attracted national interest because of the 3 prominent political names involved, Kennedy, Lodge, and McCormick. Attorney General McCormick is opposing Edward M. Ted Kennedy for the Democratic senatorial nomination. Mr. Kennedy, the president's younger brother, appeared on Meet the Press March 11th. George Cabot Lodge, the Republican contender and son of the former senator and U.N. Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge, was interviewed on Meet the Press March 18th. This is the NBC Radio Network.